Good morning, church. It's so good to be in worship with you all, whether here or at home. Can't tell you how exciting it is for me to be in worship back here on a Sunday morning. So whether you're watching now or watching later as it was live recorded, we are just so glad that we are joined in the Holy Spirit here this morning to worship together. As Daryl has mentioned, as we have celebrated already, it is Pentecost, which is the traditional feast and celebration in the life of the Universal Church, that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all people. It was the birth of the church that we see just take off like fire in that early church in Acts. You know, it's hard to know maybe how to celebrate Pentecost when the world quite literally feels like it's on fire. And yet I think now more than ever, we as people of faith need this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come now in our midst and to embolden us, to give us the courage to do what we were born to do when the Holy Spirit first came. So I don't know anywhere else to start other than in Scripture, and we're going to look at the traditional reading from Acts chapter 2. This is verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read it for us as we begin our time together. And I attempt to start using this again, which is going to be fun. Thank you, Daryl. Yeah, appreciate that. Come, Holy Spirit, come in so many ways. So this is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. All right. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" How is it that we hear each in our own native language? So last Wednesday night, my husband and I had a bonfire in our little fire pit in the backyard. It was the last day, the official last day of school, the end of NTI for him and so many of you. And so we celebrated. After the baby went to bed, we started a fire. We're hoping to make this sort of a tradition. We did it on the night of the first or the last day of summer, right before the first day of school. And it was a beautiful and wonderful night just to sit by that glow as the sun went down. I'd been doing some weeding sort of around our fire pits. There was a big pile that had compiled, and just sort of watching it burn away all of those weeds. It was a lovely night just sitting there. You know, fire is powerful like that. It burns things away. It purifies. It can even get so hot that it burns blue or white, which I think is just mesmerizing. Fire can melt and transform. So it really is a good image then to consider that the power of the Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire. This is the Spirit that has been promised. This is the Spirit that the Holy Spirit, or that the Scripture says, and that we will see throughout the early church, it's the Spirit that will teach, reminding the disciples of what Jesus has taught them. It is the Spirit who will empower them to continue the work and mission of Jesus Christ in the world. It is the Spirit who comforts. It's the Spirit who is a great advocate, who intercedes with groans too deep for words. It's the Spirit who blesses the disciples with spiritual gifts as they spread this good news and plant the first faith communities. It is the Spirit who will connect them to the Father and make their ministry possible at all. In Luke 4, it says the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus as he began his ministry and preached from the scrolls of Isaiah. It was the Holy Spirit who anointed him to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. And it's that same Holy Spirit that is now poured out on all flesh that had been prophesied, on young and old, on male and female, on free and servant, to preach this good news. Poured out on all flesh to continue the work of Jesus Christ in the world. Started in Luke 4. The Spirit comes like a rushing wind and tongues of fire, and hundreds of people gather. They think maybe around 120 sort of early disciples had been gathered there waiting in Jerusalem, locked up there in that sort of upper room, fasting and praying and waiting for days in Jerusalem. Jesus said, don't leave until the Spirit comes. And the Spirit comes like a rushing wind and these tongues of fire, and it says they broke out in these tongues. And others, hundreds more, gathered, bewildered, wondering, what is going on? It's kind of a chaotic scene, to be honest. But you know, fire can be chaotic. From the bushfires of Australia at the beginning of this year, or late last year, to the riots in our very own streets here in Louisville and across our nation, we don't have to look far to see that fire can be destructive and dangerous, even deadly. This has been a really difficult week. I have struggled to make sense of all that is going on in our nation and in our city. Not only for the ongoing racism and police brutality that's being exposed, but that peaceful protests in response have in some cases turned violent and destructive, including right here in Louisville. There is so much pain and so much fear and so much uncertainty, and it can be quite overwhelming with the varying reports and the judgments and interpretations, apparent outsiders that are coming in only to stoke these flames of anger and to incite violence. It is a complex issue, a complex problem with messy solutions, and honestly, no clear way forward. And it's left me wondering in this difficult week, how do we respond as people of faith? How can we bear witness to the love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ right here and right now? So in my own struggle to sort of make sense of it this week, I came across these words from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Maybe you read them as well. A different way to sort of look at the protest and rioting maybe that has gone on, as he explains it as the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear, he asks. It has failed to hear the plight of the black poor that's worsened over the past few years. He says it has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. He goes on to say that violence must be condemned because it surely accomplishes nothing. The violence of the rioting, it thrives on hate instead of love and divides our communities even deeper. So in no way is he or I condoning the violence. But it made me wonder and ask instead, what if we saw every protest as an act of prayer or a cry for help? What if we saw every person that took to the streets as a cry for help? How might we understand the needs of our neighbor more clearly? You know, I find it noteworthy that in the account of this first Pentecost, it's the Holy Spirit that allows each person gathered, all those multitudes that came and wondered what was happening, it was the Holy Spirit that allowed them to understand what was going on. A chaotic scene. People from all over the known world, from different cultures and languages and worldviews. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to hear and understand each in their own heart language. The words of the disciples that were witnessing to the mighty acts of God in that moment. Many were able to see and hear and understand in their own heart language. They spoke different languages. They looked different, yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, they heard and understood what was going on. And yet some still walked away dismissing. They must be drunk. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to see and hear and understand what is really going on. It's the Holy Spirit that transcends these differences in this moment of that first Pentecost to allow this to happen. So my prayer this week became and continues, come Holy Spirit, come. Give us wisdom. Grant us humility. Grant us to understand. Grant us to hear and to see. Where are you at work in this world? It's clear to me that we need this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In all of this confusion and all of this chaos, it is clear to me we need this spirit of wisdom. It's clear that we need this fresh outpouring to give us courage to respond as people of faith to the hate and division with love. To respond with love that looks like humility and compassion and truth and justice and mercy, not condemnation or dismissal or vitriol. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to transcend our differences, even as a church family. Each of us come from different backgrounds, different ideologies, different histories and families. We each have a different take on the events of our world. So we need this Holy Spirit, born through the cross of Jesus Christ, to give us wisdom and understanding that we might be united as one in mission and ministry to all the world. Biblical scholar Deborah Mumford prompted me with these questions this week that I want to share with you about how the Holy Spirit truly can transcend our differences. She asks, how many of our differences could be transcended if we allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to reign in our lives? If we allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to reign in our lives. What miracles could the Holy Spirit perform in our churches and communities if we embraced it and invited it into our midst? And finally, how many hearts and minds could the Holy Spirit possibly transform if we prayed for the Holy Spirit to have its ways in our communities? What could happen? Imagine the possibilities if we allowed the Holy Spirit to come. Take root in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our community. What could the Holy Spirit transform? If we simply surrendered and allowed the Holy Spirit to have its way among us. See, here's the thing. I'm afraid we are too content to receive the Holy Spirit like a backyard fire pit. It's small, it's contained, it's socially acceptable, even enjoyable, entertaining. It doesn't disrupt or offend. It comforts us and keeps us warm. But this fire does not convict or teach or burn away anything of our own hearts that does not align with God. This fire comforts and keeps warm, but only me. In my little backyard. It does not empower us to do the work of Christ in the world, to go out and to preach good news. our God is an all-consuming fire. Not with riots and anger and violence like we see in the world, but one that moves boldly and freely and liberates everything in its path. We can be caught up in the fires and love of God that refines and transforms and emboldens us. That is the power available to us. That is the power that has been poured out on all flesh, yet we are content. Maybe in our apathy, like Daryl mentioned, or in our privilege, in our indifference, in our out of sight, out of mind, I just want to keep my own little fire pit in my backyard. Micah challenged us with that question last week, the question of Jesus who goes to the man who needs to be healed, and he says, do you really want to be made well? Do you really want to be changed? For me, that question that follows up this week from that is yes, in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our church, but then do we really want to see our world changed? And our city changed. We pray for these things. Amen. We hope for these things. We long for these things. Then we as people of faith need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and allow it to work and move in our lives, that we might yield fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. Where do we start? But right here in our own homes, in our own church, in our own community here, to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, to surrender in the ways the winds might blow, to transcend our differences so that we might be united in the wisdom and mission of the Spirit, so that we might truly love in the way that Jesus has taught us to love. Too often, we can underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit available to us. But we have that all-consuming fire. We cannot settle. It is this fire of the Holy Spirit that changes us, that sets us ablaze on mission for God, that changes the world and builds that kingdom here. The Spirit that changes the world, a spirit of power and of love, not fear and timidity. A Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now here and available for you and for me, for all of us. If only we would surrender. Surrender to the ways that we like to have control, the ways that we like to estimate and know how are we going to be perceived, where might this Spirit take us, if we surrender to our own wills and plans, to the mission of the kingdom of God that is coming. I shared earlier this week in a time of prayer, and it's a well-known prayer if you've ever been a part of the Emmaus or Chrysalis community. But it's that prayer that continues for me to say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And I'm going to close our time together with us all praying that together, because here's the thing, this is always a communal work. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened in the beginning of Acts when a gathering of believers had been together for days, fasting and praying and waiting together. This is not just something that we each receive and we're emboldened to go and do what we think is right. No, we need each other to help see and discern and do things clearly. This is always a communal work that we surrender together and we say, Holy Spirit, come. Instruct our hearts, renew this earth. Let us be a part of that work. And so I'm going to ask you to pray this with me, because we need to do that together, especially now. And so let us pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy Spirit, come and instruct us. Holy Spirit, grant us wisdom and courage. Holy Spirit, come and renew the face of the earth. I invite you to imagine this with me, to pray with me, to hope with me, to listen with me, to receive this Holy Spirit power with me, so that we might do what we as the church were called and born to do. And that is continue to spread the good news, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. The good news of Jesus Christ is and always will be good news. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will continue this work and mission together. Let's pray. Almighty God, we don't even understand fully the power available to us in the Holy Spirit. We see the witness in Scripture. We might have our own personal experiences. And yet how powerful it can be in the gathering of believers when it's poured out. And we are inspired to see you more clearly, to see what's going on in the world, all the hurt and the pain, and to discern how we might be able to respond. Lord, forgive us too often when we'd prefer our quiet, safe, contained walk of faith. When you know that you desire, we know that you desire to sweep us up, to get us caught up in the fires of God, so that you might renew the whole face of this earth. Would you allow us to be agents of change in our own hearts and our own communities this week, as by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might be agents of peace and love and mercy and truth in an ever-darkening world. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in the matchless and all-powerful presence and power of that Holy Spirit. Amen. So much for worshiping with us this morning. You saw just a promo of our next teaching series starting in June based on Ephesians. My prayer is that we might continue and learn and remember how to live lives that are worthy of our calling by maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, a perfect continuation of our celebration here this morning on Pentecost Sunday. So I hope you all have a great week. Can we continue to pray that prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Would you give us grace and humility and love that we might listen and love our neighbors well, and that we might have the courage and boldness we need to preach good news today with how we live our lives and love one another. So I'm praying for you. I'm looking forward to worshiping with you again soon. Hope you have a great week. Let's go and be the revolution.